Fez and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
Make some noise in this tournament! One, two, three! Let me see those hands again! Head on up! Hey, everybody jump! Jump!
Ah, yes, a good Tuesday to one and all. Taz Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you, too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Pete, Mike, across the way, Bogish, double duty this morning. He's got your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, the next 3 hours with you. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Good, Moose. Good. Not bad. Just ready for another Tuesday here. You and I just getting early in the work week. We got a little reaction to Monday Night Football coming up, which will be fun. We got a good guest coming up later on. Connor Hughes covers the Jets since 2014, so we're looking forward to talking to Connor.
Yeah, he's joined us before. Good guy, and you know, you might put a curtain on the Jets season after last night and
good
that doozy
of
a performance. Where their starting quarterback Sam Darnold could be out several weeks to maybe mid-October the most. There's the potential there as he is out with mono, Taz, as we talked about last week when that announcement did come down. And then Trevor Siemian steps in at quarterback last night. He leaves with what is looks like an ugly foot injury. You know, they're going to have an MRI today on that foot. They did x-rays. They were inconclusive, but he got hit by, I believe it was Myles Garrett on the play. It looked like you know, his ankle and foot got absolutely crushed underneath it. It was an ugly
looked
replay
bad.
If you took a look at it. In step Luke Falk of Washington State fame, you know, he played okay.
He played okay
in a guy that probably going into last week wasn't expecting obviously to play last night in Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
but still at the end the Jets lose 23-3 and get absolutely trucked by the Cleveland Browns, who were still sloppy at times, still couldn't get their emotions under in check, and you saw that at times, Taz. The penalty still a concern for the Cleveland Browns, but they won the football game, and their offense looked a lot more explosive last night than it did against the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're right, definitely undisciplined as far as penalties for the Browns. But the Jets, though, I got to say, you know, there's an old expression, right? If it wasn't for bad luck, you'd have no luck at all, right? Well, that's the Jets. If it wasn't for bad luck, they'd have no luck at all because they can't catch a break. I mean, with this quarterback situation and everything, and like you just said about this season, it just feels like there wasn't that, like, not one point in the game that, like, for me, that I felt like the Jets could win the game. Even before the game started, even before Trevor got hurt, like, I'm like, oh, God. Then they bring in the third string guy, but you're right, Falk, he didn't play that bad. So, you know, and maybe once he's working with the first team and all week, because he's going to have to be the guy. You know, he was 20-25, threw for 198 yards, no interceptions, so that's impressive. But, you know, I mean, he just, you know, it's tough. He's your third-string guy.
Well, he's just a guy.
So, yeah,
I mean, all due respect.
Hopefully he could.
Right. You know. And he's just, you know, he's just a guy. He's not a great quarterback. And, you know, he's got an opportunity now here moving forward because he's in all likelihood going to be the starter against the New England Patriots, Taz, but in their very next game. But, yeah, and it's no disrespect to him, but there's a ceiling to his talent level. And you look at that game last night, I agree with you. I mean, maybe when I watched the Jamal Adams hype video before the
cool.
game,
yeah,
which was cool. You know, a great posting by the Jets and the National Football League, I like that. Maybe had a little bit better of a feel, but you know, it lost a lot of its luster and buzz with Darnold being out. And then you watch the game, and I really thought, as we discussed yesterday, Taz, and, you know, you picked the Browns in one of your weekly picks, but I really thought if the Browns came in a focused team, that they were a more talented team, a more explosive team, and I thought they would have their way with the Jets. I mean, they've got too many options offensively and answers offensively, and the Jets have got limitations defensively. They can't get after the quarterback, and they can't really cover for all that long. Their cornerback position is weak, and they benched their highest-paid cornerback last night, who didn't start playing until about the six-minute mark of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And Tremaine Johnson. So, I mean, with all that, I mean,
like $15 million, right? Something like that.
No doubt about it. And that was a McCagnan signing,
right?
You know, a couple off seasons ago, coming over from the Los Angeles Rams, Taz. So, I mean, with all that, I mean, it was hard for me to envision, unless the Browns got in their own way, which they did week one against the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, it's just the weapons the Browns have. It's just, and I got to be honest, you would think they would be better. I mean, I you know, if you look at the rosters or you look at who was healthy going into the game, who wasn't, and the star power on the Browns and the lack thereof star power on the Jets, you would think instead of 23-3, it'd be 43-3. But they didn't do that. Baker Mayfield, I'm going to be honest, like, you know, there's a lot of hype on him, and we're, you know, guys like us are part of the hype, but, you know, it's hard not to buy into the hype when he first came out of college and everything about him, and he did pretty good last year, as we know. But I got to tell you, against this Jets team, 19-35, 325 yards, one interception, one TD, that's not good enough. You know, that when you're playing the better teams, dude, that's just not good enough. And I think he made a lot of bad throws, Baker Mayfield. I wasn't really ultra impressed with Baker Mayfield. I really wasn't. I mean, Beckham played good, and he had, you know, and there was a couple good throws by Baker to Beckham. But were you impressed with Baker?
No, I don't think he played. I don't think he threw the ball particularly well. I thought he missed a number of throws that last year he put it on guys, Taz. But I would expect him to improve with that. But I would not tell you that was a jaw dropping, awe inspiring performance by Mayfield. Number one, he did a better job taking care of the football last week. Mm. You know, he threw 3 second half interceptions. He did throw a pick. I thought at times he looked a little bit rushed with his throws. And maybe there's a little bit of a fallout from week one, Taz, where he was under duress and that offensive line for the Cleveland Browns struggled a little bit. Maybe you saw that and the impact of that last night against the Jets, where maybe he was rushing his throws a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I thought he was a highly accurate guy year one. Last night, he was 19-35.
That's not.
I mean, usually you want to be around 67, 68, 69. Right. Sometimes you're, you know, even above 70% completion percentage when you look at an NFL quarterback. You didn't see that last night from Mayfield. I agree with you. I don't think he looked particularly good, but the Browns need a win.
Yeah.
And you know, you can look at the Jets, and they're 0-2, Taz, and they could be looking and staring at 0-6 before they get their quarterback back with what they have left on their schedule over the next four games, where it's the Patriots on a couple of occasions, it's the Cowboys and the Eagles. The Cleveland Browns are looking at an AFC North now where you could probably cross the Steelers off for all intents and purposes with the news from Roethlisberger yesterday. Yeah. You know, you got the Bengals are going nowhere fast, and you got the Baltimore Ravens. The Browns need a win, and they found a way to win a game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's stuff you could look at last night from the Browns and not like and to improve on, and I don't disagree with any of that. But they need to find a way to win the game, and they did.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So to your point, you're right. They had a win, and they got the win because they got to get wins when they can over a team like the Jets, especially when they're beaten down, I should say, physically in the quarterback situation, all that jazz. But I'm just saying, like Mayfield. I mean, I don't want to rip the guy, but I think he's, like I said, a good player. But you're right. Last year he was more accurate. I mean, look at the touchdown last night to Beckham in the third quarter. It was a slant. They were deep in Jets territory. They were, I mean, their own territory, I should say. And it was an 89-yard, 90-yard run, whatever it was. But it was all Beckham. It was a slant. It was a basic slant. Baker threw the ball well. It was a slant. I mean, and if the safety misses don't miss the tackle, it's an 11-yard gain. You know, but
that's true. Right, he did miss it. But it was one of the throws probably all night where he looked, I thought, in rhythm. Too.
True.
Because I didn't think he necessarily looked in rhythm. You're right. I mean, that's an easy throw. He's going to get credit for an 89-yard touchdown pass, it was the catch and run, put it where he needed to put it, and Beckham was able to split the safeties and take it to the house for a touchdown. So there were throws last night that Mayfield is clearly going to miss, but I do think he'll improve on them, Taz, here moving forward. But for the Browns, the one thing that I'd be a little concerned about, you know, kind of the sloppiness from them, you know, and the penalties and I would say the extracurricular activities that you get from the Cleveland Browns. It's okay to be the, you know, oh, we're the team that everybody loves to hate and be kind of wear that moniker, Taz.
Yep.
But the other thing is you want to make sure you play clean football. And it was a cleaner game than week one, but it wasn't what you need to do, I would say, against the upper echelon teams. Because I think if you play that style of game in which you have the penalties and, you know, which Beckham's throwing a temper tantrum because he's wearing the wrong visor on the sideline.
Oh, my God, I couldn't believe that.
You know, when you get to that kind of stuff, Taz, you know, that's stuff that needs to be cleaned up by Freddie Kitchens here moving forward.
Yeah, and they were, and listen, I mean, by the way, at Beckham, that one-handed catch was unbelievable. That's
unbelievable.
That's a side note. That was a good throw by Baker, so I should have brought that up. But But the visor thing, and even more than that, the Myles Garrett, he would have like three personal fouls or something, I can't remember. And he's your arguably the best defensive player. I mean, Denzel Ward's a great D-back for them also, obviously. But, yeah, you're right, sloppiness, the undisciplined play. I got to be honest, Moose, I'm not shocked on that only because of Freddie Kitchens, and he's missed the player coach guy. He seems like he just wants to get along with the guys, and it's different than how Rex Ryan was. He was a player coach, and he really wanted to be one of the guys. Freddie Kitchens, I think, is the same way, but I think you run the risk when you're like that where teams are going to take advantage of that and just play wild and undisciplined. And guys, these young guys that are making millions and millions of dollars that are 24, 25 years old, making, you know, $10, $12, $13 million, and you're acting like you're their best friend instead of a hard-ass coach, you know, or a disciplinarian, they're going to just do what they want. And I do think he's seen that with the Browns.
Yeah, and you might be right about that, but that's something that's got to be nipped in the bud here because you can't continue to do that, Taz, and it might not change. I mean, it just might go along with the territory.
Maybe,
he does
yeah.
carry himself a little bit more of an edge than being that happy-go-lucky, I want to be.
Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree.
He does have
but
a little
that player coach, there's
no,
something there.
I get what you're saying, you know, if I were to ask, if I were to think, like, which guy holds guys more accountable, I would think it would be Kitchens more than Ryan, because I thought Ryan, I agree with you, kind of wanted to be the guy that everyone, you know, had a beer with
after
practice.
And I think they were.
And well, right, maybe some weeks. Yeah, that's exactly right. But I would hope that with Kitchens, you look at this game film and you say, this has got to be cleaned up. That's because there's no doubt in the talent, Taz. I mean, the game-breaking ability. You look at Beckham. It was an important game last night for Beckham. You know, it really was. I don't care what the million-dollar watch he's wearing during pregame warm-ups and the like. You know, it was an important game for him. He got called out by Greg Williams before the week saying, you know, Odell who and, you know, not a dynamic receiver. And he ends up having six catches, 161 yards and a touchdown and a career-long 89-yard touchdown catch and run. So last night you feel good for Odell because that was an important game for him. And for the Browns, they need to get a win. But I agree with you. It was not this performance where you come out of it and say, the Browns are back. This is the Cleveland team that I expect because they've got to get better because the Baltimore Ravens have played better football through the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to me, a shining light, a bright light, I should say, for the Browns definitely throughout the game was Chubb. Nick Chubb, I thought, you know, ran the ball great for them as a starting running back.
Yep.
I'm happy he's on my fantasy team, but he did play really well. And, you know, he was in the same draft class, as you know, with Baker Mayfield. And there was really not a lot of hype on him, on Nick Chubb, just because Baker Mayfield was there. I can't remember if he was a first-round pick or one of the first-rounders or second-rounders.
What's that?
Nick Chubb. Where was he?
No, he was not a first-round pick.
He was a second-round, probably.
Second-round.
Yeah, because Baker was one. And I don't know. I couldn't remember if they had two picks in that draft. You know what I mean? But I knew he was high up there, you know?
Well, they did have two picks.
They did have two picks.
Yeah,
so who did they take?
Baker and they had Denzel Ward.
Denzel Ward from Ohio State. Okay, right.
Overall.
I remember we did the show here, but that seems like eons ago.
Yeah. Chubb was not a first-round.
Chubb was, all right. Thanks, Mike. 35th overall. Was. Okay, I didn't realize that. But so anyway, thing is, a hell of a player, and he ended up earning that starting job there, and I thought he was great. He had a little bit north of 62 yards yesterday and a touchdown, but he ran the ball well. So I think that's a shining light for them. And look, Beckham's a star. There's no doubt about it. Jarvis Landry, you know, he didn't get as many touches, throws to him as I thought he would. You know, they did a whole thing on the pregame about Beckham and Landry and LSU and their best friends and this and that. And we've talked about the greatness of Landry alongside with Beckham, but they're not getting the ball. Baker's not getting the ball. Maybe he's a decoy. I don't know what's going on. He had 32 yards yesterday, okay, and three catches. I mean, I'm sorry, 32 yards and three catches. Somehow you got to get the ball to Landry. You got to get the ball to Juice a little bit. You know, you got to get that done, but they're not. And how about Njoku? So, what's the deal? He's out indefinitely. He had a concussion. The tight end.
Yeah,
I didn't see
what the report was after the game, though. How long? I did not see an update on that. But yes, he did get hurt in the game.
You saw that, right?
Yes, I did see that. Yes,
scary,
I did see that. Well, got undercut during the reception, right?
Yeah,
and then basically was in a prone position and landed straight down. So. Yeah, I think for Cleveland, you look at it, and you know you can look at the ills of that Brown team and what they need to improve on, but they come off a W. For the Jets, Taz, they're an 0-2 football team, And they look like they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
I know.
And the Jet fan might turn the page on this year very, very quick because they don't have the quarterback. He's out with mono. Now you're down to your third-string quarterback. I mean, you look at the wide receiver position, Noah Nunwa, right? You got Crowder. You got Robbie Anderson. Herndon, their talented tight end, is suspended. Drug suspension. The offensive line's been raveled. Cornerback-wise is a struggle. You can't get after the quarterback. And, Taz, I'll be honest with you, I think the jury's still out on Adam Gase as a head coach as well.
Because,
I mean, it's not like this offense looks like it's a revolutionary-style offense through the first couple of weeks. They look very, very pedestrian. And I think you can look at Adam Gase, and even though he talks tough and he's Peyton's best buddy, and I understand what he did in Chicago and Miami and Cutler and Manning before that with the Denver Broncos, this is a new go-around, and he's got to find a way for this team to be competitive, even with all the injuries. That's your job as a head coach.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough going. He's getting thrown some curveballs with his quarterback situation. That's obvious. But you got arguably one of the better running backs in the league in Le'Veon Bell.
And he's great.
He is, man. He played good yesterday. I thought Bell played really well. I mean, he ran the ball well. He didn't break 70 yards rushing, but he ran the ball well. And it was a steady diet now with the quarterback situation. They went to that last night. They went to just running the rock up the middle, dive plays and buck plays and off-tackle plays and read plays. It was great. It was great for a while. It was like old-school smash-mouth football. The audience there in New Jersey was loving it. And then the Browns figured it out defensively and kind of shut it down. But, yeah, I mean, you're right about Adam Gase. I mean, I don't know if you saw this. I don't remember. It was during the pregame, and they showed him, I think it was from last week or yesterday's game. I can't remember when it was. The smelling salts. Did you see this with Adam Gase?
I thought it was it last week's game?
I think you're right. Yeah, because I said I didn't know if it was last night. But, yeah, I think it was last week's game. It's the first time I saw it was last night in the pregame. It's a little bit like, he's got the crazy eyes as it is. I think they did it in the come on man segment. Come on, man. The Randy Moss segment.
Okay.
I think that's where it was. If you got those wacky eyes at press conferences, you might want to avoid smelling salts. You ever have smelling salts?
I have not.
I have twice when I was once in high school, once in college. You can't explain the smell. Like, it will wake you up.
I'm sure.
And your eyes just... It's like straight ammonia in your nasal passage. It wakes you right up.
Well, they use it a lot in professional boxing.
I've never done that here.
Yes, we should.
Imagine that.
I've never done that. I think somebody did a bit here where they did smelling salts.
Did they really?
I think Giannotti did a bit.
Really? Mike, do you remember this or not? This is happening.
Not on this show.
Not on this show.
What was he on?
He was on WFAN.
He's everywhere, huh?
No, he was out. He was over there. I think he did. I remember somebody. It might not have been
really?
Him.
That's maybe. Funny.
they did do it, but I did see that from
Gase. Yeah,
yeah, from Adam Gase. I don't remember seeing another head coach doing that.
I don't remember seeing an NFL head coach using
smelling salts before the game. But I mean, I guess that's whatever so gets you going, right?
That's funny. But yeah.
I don't know. It was
because
a strange
his
scene.
Eyes were like going crazy when he did it.
I know.
he looks better
with the hat on.
He's an interesting guy, man. Like when you hear him talk, like he's not like he's like a guy that you hang out at a ball with. Like I didn't expect him to be like that. He seemed like I didn't know much of him with the whole man. Like he seemed more straight laced. And he got the Jet job, that first, I didn't know much of his persona. And now, like hearing him enough and living here in New York and hearing him enough, on the radio, wherever, and. He's riveting. There's something about him. It's just entertaining to me. He's kind of got like his demeanor. It's like the type of guy that's had one too many beers at a bar, that you're hanging out watching a basketball game with. Like he just how he comes off like the guy in college that was the bad drunk. Like sorry, Adam Gase, that's just how I feel about you. It's my opinion. Happy Tuesday. So. Adam Gase will never be on the show.
I think maybe he got painted in the wrong light initially after that initial presser with the strange eye looks and everything like that, a little bit of nerves playing in. Ultimately, it comes down to whether or not he can coach, right?
Yeah,
and
true.
He gives you all the good answers. He certainly does do that, and he's compatible when you listen to these post-game press conferences. There's no doubt with Adam Gase, but never seen that with the smelling salts. Maybe that's a thing that he does every single day when he first wakes up in the morning.
Maybe he did it right before that press conference with the eyes. He might have been snorting up freaking smelling salts. That could have done it.
And maybe it did.
Yeah, who knows?
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Monday, on this Tuesday morning. Just getting going. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance.
You know, we're talking about talking about Monday Night Football, Moose, talking about the Jets.
Yep.
And the Browns. Let's hit the phone lines here. Let's have a little chat with Ray, listening out in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Ray, you're on with Taz the Moose. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. First-time caller, lifelong Giants fan, so I know what it's like to suffer with a losing team here.
All right,
hey,
man. Yeah.
I was curious what your opinions are. I find it astounding that all these accusations against Antonio Brown have only surfaced once he joined the Patriots, and they never came out previously when he was playing for anybody else. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
That these stories, that the SI.com piece did not come out when he was a member of the Steelers?
Did it? I'm not aware of that.
No, it did not. Is that your point?
No,
is that your point, Ray? I'm just asking you a question.
Well, my point is, do you find it coincidental that it only came out once he became a member of the Patriots, even though I'm a Giants fan? I just find it, there's so many Patriot haters out there that I wonder if there's more to it.
Well, Ray, I don't think if you go out to Pittsburgh, some of the stuff that was in that SI.com piece yesterday that came out, I think Robert Klemko had the piece. People already knew about. There were obviously stuff in there that people did not know about. But if you go out to Pittsburgh, there was kind of stuff that was already, out there for public, for people to take in. So some of those stories were already known. Does it come out just because he's a Patriot? No, I think it comes out because people started to dig into the very fact of his behavior and how he's acted. And then he has a civil lawsuit filed against him for sexual assault on 3 different occasions. And then you start digging because of this erratic behavior that we saw at the end of Pittsburgh and then what we saw in Oakland as well.
And I believe also, Ray, the first situation that came out from the issues from June 2017 and another one in May 2018 from Brittany Taylor, the initial allegation, that was something that was in the works as far as with her and a legal team to file a civil suit. I don't know the details of it, Ray, the backstory. I think the timing of it when it came out was just that Antonio Brown ended up on the Patriots, but it seems like this is a case that they were building, you know what I'm saying? It didn't just happen out of nowhere, you know?
All right. That's what I was curious how you guys felt about that.
All right, we appreciate it, Ray. Thanks so much, but appreciate it. All right, well, let's go out to Jersey. Talk to a good, big friend of ours.
He is John. He is John. He is John from Jersey.
What's up, Johnny?
John, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning, man. How you guys doing? All right,
buddy. What's going on?
Hey, well, 2 things. Number one, do you realize this weekend there are going to be 2 NFL teams that are 20-point or greater underdogs?
Yeah, Jets and Dolphins.
I mean, and someone like the Moose and I that maybe partake in better too. What are your thoughts? I mean, can you remember ever seeing that?
You are a mock.
Not in the same week. No, I mean, the Dolphins are a special case. I mean, they're a 21-point dog down in Dallas against the Cowboys. I think the Jets opened at 16.5 for 17 last night, right after that game went final with Falk now at quarterback, and they're up in Foxborough taking on your New England Patriots. But no, I don't remember seeing if that happens, if the Jets and Pats go up to above 20. I don't remember. I can't tell you the last time I've ever seen
it. I think it's 20.5 now.
Okay.
This morning.
So it's moved up. So it's moved 3.5 points from the ocean. Yeah. Well, I mean, who the hell's betting the Jets?
No, nobody. The answer is no one.
Nope.
Hey, no. And on a totally separate note, I mean, first you had Antonio Brown, and now it looks like you have Jalen Ramsey that are basically looking to talk or get themselves out of the team and onto another team. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I think the NFL is going down a really slippery slope with that.
John. Sorry, no, you go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, and I was going to say, I'm not sure if Minka Fitzpatrick did that too, or if the Dolphins just wanted to trade him, but now he went from the Dolphins to the Steelers. So it just seems you got players that are talking their way off of teams, and I never saw that before in the NFL.
I agree with you. I don't remember it happening either. Maybe it's had in the past, but I think you're right. I think the NFL wants what happened with Antonio Brown. And see, this is the thing too, where players are utilizing social media to do their business for public consumption, and then you get the masses on your side. So for the player, they're smart in a way. They do it for it's me against the machine. The machine is the team, and I'm little old me, the player. So and I think a lot of society, especially on social media, they can relate to that. So everybody works for someone, and you're sick of the man type thing. But I do think it's a bad situation, to your point, John. What's going on where it could be, it's not just, and I don't think it's going to stop with Ramsey and the Jaguars either. I don't think it's going to happen. And Minka Fitzpatrick wanting to be gone, you know, because his team's going to stink because they're tanking. And I Moose and I talked about that last week, and that's something that drives me crazy. Like, I don't understand how, I said it yesterday in the show, I know it sounds asinine, but bench him. If they should have benched him Sunday. Why bench him? I mean, why play him? I'm saying, why let him go out there and apply his craft? I know you're paying him, but you know what? Right. He don't want to be there. Why do I want to cancel like that in the middle of my defense? I'm just, and he's a great player. I know he's great. You know,
I don't think Fitzpatrick, a guy that showed you the ability to play all over the field at Alabama, is gonna all of a sudden tank for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, I would make the argument.
No, I didn't say that though. That's not what I said.
Well, you mentioned a cancer in the middle of the defense.
That's
when I look at cancer.
But I'm not talking about his ability. That's not what I mean.
I'm saying a guy that's not gonna. When I think of cancer, I think a guy that's not playing hard.
No, well, that's not what I think. That could be part of it. You're right. That could be. But then what I meant was, maybe I didn't explain it well enough, a guy that doesn't want to be there. No matter if he's playing well or not, maybe I implied he didn't give 100%, which is wrong of me. I don't know if he gave 100%. I don't want to risk it if I'm the Miami Dolphins. Let's say he's still on my team. When I call him a cancer, I mean a guy that don't want to be on a team, a guy that's not all in a locker room and in any sport, that's a cancer. A guy that don't want to be there. And that has nothing to do with his ability. So that was my point.
I got you.
If you guys are running a team and you have a player who doesn't want to be there, regardless of the talent of the player, and he makes it clear, I don't want to be here. Get me out of here.
Right.
Are you gonna go along? Or are you gonna say, you know what? You're here. You don't want to play? Sit on the bench.
It's a tough thing because I wouldn't play him. First of all, I wouldn't play him. I'd want him gone. But if you're paying him guaranteed money, he's getting a plethora of money, millions of dollars. It's a tough thing to keep him on a team and not utilize his ability. I believe in, and I learned this in the wrestling business years ago, and like it's just, if you don't want to be here, go. Because it's like a relationship. I look at it like a relationship with a guy and a girl or whatever you suit your fancy, a girl and a guy, whatever floats your boat. I'm just saying, if you don't want to be in that relationship, you can't force someone to be with you. That's how I look at it anyway.
Yeah, I think the Jaguars, if they don't get Jalen Ramsey, if they don't get what they're looking for him, he's going to play. I would not put him on the bench. I would not bench him. I'm looking to try and win football games if I'm Doug Marrone. I think a guy professionally is still going to max out for his teammates and play for his teammates. And he's also looking for a big money contract after the season does come to an end.
Right.
So if I don't get what I'm looking for and you know, they've had conversations with teams, and nobody's offering me at least a first-round pick and multiple ones or a 1 and a 2 or a 1 and 3. I'm not getting that. Then Jalen Ramsey's going to play for me.
Yeah, and it's a little bit, and you know this, Moose. It's a little bit of a different situation with Fitzpatrick and with Ramsey. You know, Ramsey had a blow-up with the head coach on the sideline, you know, and there's some kind of an issue with those two guys, with Marrone and Jalen Ramsey with the Jags. Where Minka Fitzpatrick is a thing where, look, our team's going to suck. We're going to tank. I want off this team. Yeah, a little bit of a difference.
No,
you know?
It's true, but no, there is a difference. You're right about that. As I defended Fitzpatrick the other day, I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to play for the Miami Dolphins either. I mean, what Miami's doing this year is historical. You have not seen a lot of NFL teams, if ever do this, where you know they've gotten rid of pretty much every talented player that is on their team.
I know.
And rid themselves, and they are going to be an absolute and complete embarrassment all season long. I know they've got 5 first-round draft choices over the next 2 NFL drafts, including this 3 this April with the Fitzpatrick trade to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Taz. But you know, if I were Fitzpatrick, you know, I'm also looking at, I'm laying on my body on the line for a team that doesn't care about wins and losses either. There's another way you can look at it, too, that I feel for the player, too. Because I, you know, say if I, you know, say... The Dolphins as an organization have already set the tone. They don't care.
And what about the other guys on the team? Kenyon Drake could be thinking the same thing. And he's out there balling.
But everyone's got different leverage.
Right.
Everyone's got different leverage. We said that the other day. There are other guys that are hanging on that are just looking for work.
Right.
They're looking at the Miami Dolphins. They don't have anywhere else to go. They've got no other choice.
That's true.
There are other guys, and not everyone's the same. Minka Fitzpatrick happens to be in the situation where when he basically said, I want out of here, there were about 13 teams that wanted Minka Fitzpatrick.
He's a great player.
Right, and he's a great safety, and he's played all over the field, can play corner, can do a lot of different things, Taz. He's in a different position. That's not fair to everybody on that team, but that's just the truth.
Fair point. Andrew Bogus is here. Andrew, hello. Good morning, sir.
Taz, good morning. It's good to see you. Moose, good morning as well.
Hello.
About the fifth time.
Here's your report. Sponsored by the NFL. It's the NFL's 100th season, and NFL Network is counting down the 100 greatest plays, characters, games, game changers, and teams. The NFL's 100 greatest, Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network. Sam Darnold has mono. Now Trevor Siemian has this.
He throws long down the middle. Leaping attempt broken up. They were going for the tight end Griffin at the 28 of the Browns. All kinds of coverage. Uh-oh. Siemian is down, holding his left leg, and it does not look good.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. Miles Garrett called for a late hit on the play. Siemian headed for an MRI in his lower left leg. Luke Falk played the final 2-plus quarters last night against the Browns. He was on the practice squad until the weekend. He went 20-25 for 198 yards in his NFL debut. The Jets technically within striking distance until late third quarter last night. That's when Odell Beckham Jr. went 89 yards for points. 6 catches, 161 yards in his return to MetLife Stadium. His Browns won 23-3 after that ugly home loss to the Titans 2 Sundays ago. It's win number 1 for head coach Freddie Kitchens.
They continue just to keep their head down. They blocked out the noise outside, and still got a lot of work to do. But it's always better to do it after a win.
Back to the Jets. If Falk starts Sunday in New England, which appears likely, they'd become the 6th team in the Super Bowl era to start 3 QBs in the first 3 weeks of a season. Mason Rudolph's now in charge in Pittsburgh because Ben Roethlisberger needs season-ending right elbow surgery, and Teddy Bridgewater is in charge in New Orleans with Drew Brees expected to undergo right thumb surgery. Brees likely out at least 6 weeks. As you guys were just discussing, the Dolphins reportedly unloading Minka Fitzpatrick on the Steelers for a first-round pick in April, and Jalen Ramsey has asked the Jaguars to trade him. All the A's needed were 3 more outs against the lowly Royals last night.
Hendricks gives him a look. Here's the pitch. Mondesi with a base hit to left. Here comes Whit Merrifield rounding third. He's coming home, and the Royals have the lead. Mondesi into second base. Safe with a double. All of a sudden, the Royals' offense has come alive in this 9th inning.
As heard on Royals Radio, KC scoring 2 to steal a 6-5 win in Oakland. The A's now just a game ahead of idle Tampa Bay atop the AL wildcard standings. Idle Cleveland a game and a half behind the Rays and 5 games behind the Twins in the Central. Minnesota 5-3 win over the White Sox last night. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. 855-212-4CBS.
Taz, good morning.
855-212-4227, your number to call. The future quarterback of the Saints and the Steelers, a future at quarterback, we'll get into that. Fitzpatrick on the move from the Miami Dolphins, we'll get into that as well. It's Taz, it's Moose on a Tuesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. It's Taz and the Moose with you here on a Tuesday morning. And big news, we've got some clarification as far as two quarterbacks in the National Football League. Number one, Ben Roethlisberger is done for the year, as it was announced yesterday by Mike Tomlin. He's going to undergo season-ending elbow surgery, suffered that elbow injury this past week, as we talked about yesterday during the Seahawks game, what ended up being a loss. They are 0-2, so that is Mason Rudolph's team here moving forward. And Drew Brees is in Houston, I believe, today, seeking a second opinion from a hand specialist, but he's got torn ligaments in his thumb. The initial report is when he does eventually undergo that surgery, he's looking at a 6 to 7 week timetable, Taz. Met with a hand specialist, stayed out in L.A. after the game on Sunday after he suffered the injury. In Houston, I believe, today, meeting with a second doctor, another hand specialist. So we'll see if he gets the same, same word from that hand specialist facing surgery. If that's the case, you're not going to see Brees for the next month and a half.
Yeah, it's a blow, man. It's just it's horrible. And especially with a hand, right? You got to take snaps. You got to take shotgun snaps. You're always touching the football. Every play, the quarterback. I know it sounds simplistic, but it's a fact. You know, think about it. You know, people need to think about that. That guy has to touch the football every play. He needs his hand. He's got to throw the football. He needs his hand. So it sucks for a guy like Brees. It sucks for the Saints. And maybe they can get things right with Bridgewater this week in practice. I guess we'll find out when we get closer to the weekend and how he's doing and stuff in practice. That's a big blow for the Saints. I mean, it's a big blow to miss that many weeks for a guy like Drew Brees. That's a gigantic, gigantic blow for them. And it sucks for a very loyal, strong fan base that they have all over the country, the New Orleans Saints, especially down there in the Bayou. So we'll see how it turns out, and hopefully Bridgewater can ball for them.
Well, the question I would have is, can he keep their head above water to when Brees does return? Because he can finish the season strong. Can he be representable? They're 1-1 right now. You look at the next six games or 6 or 7 weeks without Drew Brees. Can Teddy Bridgewater be good enough to where when they come out of it, they can have a potential where Brees returns, Taz, and they can play relevant football and get themselves back right into the postseason? Because I would not expect miracles. I mean, Bridgewater's now got an opportunity to reprove himself as a starter. He's got offensive weapons like Kamara and Thomas around him down there in New Orleans. Decent enough offensive line, good play caller in the head coach, and Sean Payton, who just got a 5-year extension, Taz. So Bridgewater's got a chance to reestablish himself. I think the potential is there. I'm curious to see if they can win enough games to when Brees does return and takes over the quarterback spot, and Bridgewater can play well enough to where they can put together. Can they win 3 of the next 7 games? Can they go 3-4? Can they go 4-3 in the next 7 games if with Teddy Bridgewater, if Brees is out the next 7 games for argument's sake?
Well,
can he win 3 of the next 7 games?
I think he can, and I think because you nailed it, I think because of the amount of weapons offensively on that team, and also a really good defense, also Taysom Hill, who's a really good weapon who can play quarterback, who could be in a shotgun for you, can play receiver. He's a kind of a utility guy that's a very unique player, and I think if you get creative offensively, you could maybe win some games with when you have a guy like Bridgewater who's a pro, who knows what he's doing. He just got to get his act going a little bit here because he hasn't been playing a lot. And so now I do think that I think they can.
All right, so they're 1-1 right now, Taz.
Right.
They've got 6 games before their bye week, week 9. So that means Brees, if he's out 6.5-7 weeks, could be back for week 10.
Right, okay.
At Seattle, Dallas, Tampa Bay home, both those games at home. At Jacksonville, at Chicago, Arizona. I'll tell you, I think they can probably win. I think they can go, of those 6 games, I think they can win 3 of those 6 games.
Yeah,
with Bridgewater at quarterback.
I think you're right. I don't think they're going to beat Seattle at Seattle. That's not happening.
Dallas at home? I don't think they're beating Dallas.
I don't think they're beating Dallas. The Bucs, they're going to beat at home.
Bucs could beat.
And the Jaguars,
they can win that game.
They can win that game, yeah.
At Chicago? Chicago lighting the world on fire? Trubisky?
No, but as you know, you're playing in Chicago with arguably the best defense in the league.
True. Fair point. So how about Arizona at home? They could beat Arizona.
They're going to beat Arizona, yeah.
So you're looking at it. They can get to 3 wins.
Yeah, I think so.
So they could be 4-4 when Brees does return. If they're 4-4 when Brees returns, Taz, then
they got opportunity then to finish the season strong and still get to the promised land. Now you look at Pittsburgh.
Different story.
Now, well, is it?
I think a little bit.
Let me ask you the reason.
There's less weapons, man.
Now,
that's all I'm saying.
I'll tell you this, though. Did the Steelers not send a message about what they believe about Mason Rudolph when they trade their first-round draft choice, a 2020 pick, for Minkah Fitzpatrick, who they believe can help them now and obviously for the foreseeable future to play safety for him? I mean, Taz, you would think a lot of people would be looking at that 2020 first-round draft choice as a top-10 pick.
Yeah.
Now, it's a quarterback-rich draft, right?
Sure.
Next April. We've talked about it. There's arguably 5 to 6 college quarterbacks that could be drafted in the first round. The Pittsburgh Steelers, with that trade and giving up their first-round pick, did they not basically say that we believe in Mason Rudolph?
Absolutely, and we talked about it when it happened, and we talked about it the other day where Ben Roethlisberger panicked a little bit once he heard whatever his wording was. He wasn't, let's worry about the now, whatever he said.
Yeah.
He didn't want to empower Mason. He said something
basically,
he didn't want to have to help him or like it's not his job.
Why are we drafting a quarterback?
Right,
because
right.
I want guys to help us win now.
Right, correct. And, you know, he comes out of Oklahoma State, the kid, and he's a big kid, 6'5", 6'4", whatever he is. He can throw the ball. I remember seeing him play in college. He's a really good player. And my only thing with the Steelers is I just don't feel they have the weapons. Like, I thought we were comparing the Steelers and the Saints. That's as far as their issues and stuff like that. So I thought that's where you're going. But cool.
No. It's not a one-on-one comparison.
Right.
I'm just looking at the fact of, you know, can the Pittsburgh Steelers stay relevant now with Rudolph at quarterback?
Yeah, I think they can. It's just that I just don't feel they have the same weapons or the quality weapons. You know, Juju, to me, I mean, he's a good player, but, I mean, is he filling the shoes of Antonio Brown? No, I don't think so. Now, James Conner, he messed up his knee, right? So, I mean, you know, they got a good offensive line. Who's the leadership there? I mean, you got a veteran offensive line. You know, those guys could step up and be the leaders. Defensively, as you pointed out yesterday, they got some issues, the Steelers. They do.
Well,
but now with Minkah, you know, it's a big plus.
Well, Minkah does help. It does help. And I guess I look at it, Taz, it's not kind of 1v1 as we do here on our show comparison. But I do think Rudolph's got an opportunity to be the guy in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And I think the Steelers, with that trade yesterday, and adding a really good football player, but giving up a valuable asset in today's day and age in a first-round draft pick, basically showed you what they believe in Mason Rudolph, that he can be the guy in Pittsburgh. Now he's going to have the opportunity to go out there and do it, because I don't think you're trading a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick if you don't believe that Mason Rudolph's not the guy for the future.
That's a good point, because you want to win now. You want to win it. You want it now. And the thing is, you know, something that I think a lot of people don't know about Mason, I believe he was like 6th or 7th or 8th, somewhere in that vicinity in the 2017 Heisman. Like he had
gaudy stats at Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
39. I think he is senior year at Oklahoma State. I think he had 39 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, or maybe a tad more. I mean, it was just it was all off the charts what he was able to do in Mike Gundy's system. Yeah, it's interesting, Taz, but New Orleans has got a better chance of playing relevant football. We'll agree to disagree on Pittsburgh, Taz. I'd be surprised if we're talking Week 12, and the Steelers are playing relevant football.
Hmm. Yeah,
I mean, and it's not all the quarterback's fault. I don't think.
Right.
I think it's not all the quarterback's fault. It's not all Rudolph's fault. I think there's a lot that needs to be rectified with that Steeler roster.
Well, you're 0-2, right? I mean, you're 0-2. There's a lot. No, there's a lot, and I think there's more of the defensive end of it is a problem, like we said.
Agreed.
But Ed and Fitzpatrick helps. You know, so if you look, you know, they could. They are not going to be as good as the Saints, I don't feel. I think it's a bigger hit for them. I think the Saints, like we were just discussing, have more weapons and a good defense, too. So.
And the Saints, we'll see. For Breeze, it's a hit, Taz. You never want to lose stars in the NFL.
And you lose 2 stars in there. Breeze and Ralph, that's bad.
And third straight, and now second straight week, Foles week 1.
Yeah, I forgot about Foles, yeah.
The Jaguar fan is crying. We'll get into Ramsey, everything else. Pigskin Pileup comes your way next. Taz Moos, CBS Sports Radio.